Bringing in Jared Lloyd now with the Provo Daily Herald, Cougar insider extraordinaire. We both kind of thought there'd be no expansion, and that ship sailed. There's no expansion. I don't know what's going on. I can't believe I'm actually bringing up the Big 12, because I was about to say it's nice to not talk about that. But is there any closing thought you'd like to have, since it's now no longer fashionable to talk Big 12 expansion? Jared, is there any sort of takeaway from that whole experience that left you miserable or disappointed or just flabbergasted at the dysfunction of that conference?
I'm not surprised. That's the reality of it. I wasn't surprised by the result. And honestly, Tom, I don't even think that, you know, I think that this is, you know, this is certainly not anything that's final. I mean, this is the current status, which is about what I expected, you know, but there's so much that changes, you know, as things progress. And you know, I just think that the main thing is being patient. You know, I think that's what Tom Homo has to do, put the best product that they can on the football field and, you know, be as, you know, attractive of a team as they can be for any, you know, potential suitors as far as expansion goes. But, you know, they can't rush the process. They can't force the process, you know, and they've got to wait until it's the right situation for BYU. And until that happens, they'll just continue on as they are. So I think it's just a matter of being patient and waiting for the right thing to come along. And didn't happen right now, and didn't surprise me that it didn't. But I won't be surprised either if here in a year or two, you know, minds change and they go a different route, the Big 12 does. So just have to wait and see how it all plays out. But I'm not really surprised by what, you know, the decision they made currently.
Right. Is there, you know, from your ear to the ground and finger on the pulse of Cougar Nation, is there, because I kind of got caught up in it, I don't know, about 8 weeks ago, and I said, oh, they got to expand. And then, you know, then I listened some more, stopped talking and listened and realized that it's dysfunctional. There's all kinds of agendas. And then we had somebody from Horns Digest join us, and famous guy, first name is escaping me, but he said 2024 is when Longhorn Network contract expires. Are we waiting that long, or is there something else? I mean, there's got to be some answer for BYU, I would imagine, in the nearer future, isn't there?
Well, maybe. There's so much that's so uncertain with all of this. I mean, all of the contracts and the, you know, all of the, you know, the television money and everything. Yeah, it's great right now. Who knows where it will be in the future? Who knows how things will change and evolve as you know, moving forward? There's just a lot of things that have changed in the last decade. And, you know, to say that nothing's going to happen for another, you know, 7-8 years, I think that's pretty ridiculous to believe that at this point. You know, a couple of years of not getting teams in the championship changes things. You know, Texas, different administration at various places changes things. Television changes things. Right. You know, what do the broadcast partners want to do? Do they still have the money? You know, there's just a lot of things that change, you know, and so trying to predict this is ridiculous, in my opinion. There's just too much going on. There's too many moving parts. It's more of watching the process, inserting yourself where you can, making sure you're part of the discussion as much as you can possibly be, which I think Tom Homo and BYU is doing. Mm-hmm. The only way to do it better is have a special football season where they're a top 10 team, you know, drawing a lot of attention. If they're able to do that at some point in the next couple of years, then all of a sudden it changes even more. I mean, let's be honest, Utah and TCU were able to do that, and that's why they were able to, you know, become as attractive as they were. Even, you know, Louisville did the same thing. You know, some of these other programs that have expanded have been able to do that. And BYU with its national fan base, you know, that makes a difference. But you got to remain in the conversation, continue to make yourself as attractive as possible. That's what BYU has, you know, really the most important thing for them to be able to do is those types of things. But just keep poking, prodding, waiting, seeing what happens, you know, making sure that you're right there ready if the opportunity comes to be able to jump. So, and in that sense, independence might be the best route because, you know, you get in a conference, you get TV deals, you get, you know, some of the Mountain West Conference, you know, the old Mountain West Conference teams probably still don't like BYU, Utah, and TCU because they jumped ship and all of the stuff that they did. So, you know, I mean, you really entangle yourself in a conference in that sense. it's not the same when you're an independent because, yeah, you might have to do some scheduling, you know, adjustments or different things if you do join a conference, but you've got a lot of freedom, a lot of choices. So if an opportunity arises, it's easier for you to make a move.
Well, you make sense, and you're always the voice of reason here in a program that's hosts. The host sometimes is not reasonable. But how is the fan base taking this? Because, you know, I had set this up, and a lot of us who looked at this maybe 3 months ago and said, got to expand, and then BYU has to be one of the two. And we had it already. You know, I did. I plead guilty. Is the fan base sort of numb to the whole thing until, is it wake me up when we're in?
I think there's a various factions. I think that there's some that, you know, I think there's a lot that want BYU to be competitive and they see the best route to being that, to being in a big major conference. So they're, you know, they really kind of rise and fall with every, you know, every hope or dream that, you know, they'll get an invitation. And the Big 12 has been the main, you know, the main focus of that, given its, you know, the fact that it already has religious schools and, you know, some of the connections that, you know, might have been, you know, good there and some of that. But you know, I think that there's definitely a group that's that way. I think the majority of the big-time BYU fans want BYU to be a competitive, nationally prominent program. And so if they can do that without, you know, joining a conference, then they'll be happy with that. You know, BYU's got its own challenges. And so, you know, I think a lot of them are in that category you mentioned of, you know, this is what Tom Homo's got to do. Maybe he should be more aggressive, but they might think that. But, you know, for the most part, I think it's, you know, this is that BYU's got to make these choices and we're going to support the teams. I think that's probably the majority of how BYU fans view it. But I definitely know that there's quite a few that are just aching for BYU to be in the same conversation as the Power Five, you know, as the Power Five right. schools. And so, you know, until they're actually in a Power Five conference, they probably won't be satisfied.
All right, let's talk Major League Baseball draft. Obviously, great news for Brennan Lund, outfielder with the Cougars, and Michael Rucker, who was spinning it really well all year, unbeaten most of the year until they came to the West Coast Conference Championship, both going in the 11th round, Lund going to the Angels, which makes John La Follette very happy, and then the Cubs grabbing Rucker. So talk to us about what happens now. It's a weird – because I think a lot of people are not that attuned to the process. In the NBA draft, you figure it's quick. You know, NFL, you understand. What's the baseball draft like, and how many years out are we talking?
There's really no way to know, and that's probably why most people aren't really familiar or as familiar with – you know, the Major League Baseball process. And, you know, let's be honest, the Major League Baseball draft doesn't get the same type of attention as football and basketball, and for good reason. I mean, you know, maybe the top few, you know, maybe there's a top couple of draft picks that are going to be big names that become, you know, really high profile. But with the farm system, with Major League Baseball, and even, I mean, we're talking about guys that were drafted in the 11th round.
Right.
You know,
that's
the 11th round. That's great. But, you know, with how Major League Baseball is set up with the farm system and, you know, all of the various classifications, rookie league ball and, you know, and A and double A and triple A and, you know, all of the different, you know, different teams that are out there, the farm teams, there's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different levels of baseball and, you know, a guy that gets drafted today, he may be playing in Scranton, or he may be playing in Casper, Wyoming, or he may, you know, you just never know where he might end up playing for a, you know, one of these farm teams, and you may never hear of him again. But, you know, it's an opportunity to chase a dream to play pro baseball. And, you know, there are guys that make it clear to the major leagues. You got to be good, but, you know, if you are good enough, there's an opportunity there to go all the way, and this is where it starts. And so, you know, a lot of these guys are, you know, this is going to be a dream they'll chase, and they may never make it to the top, but they might. And so, you know, but this is the starting point. And as far as, you know, the time frame, your guess is as good as mine, because a lot of it depends on how they perform. Can they stay healthy? Can they be effective at the, you know, at one level? You know, if they're dominant at one level, they'll move up faster. But if they're just kind of average so-so, then they've got a lot of work ahead of them, and they probably are going to eventually wash out and go on and do other things with their lives. So, mm-hmm. you know, I wish these guys a lot of luck. You know, Pleasant Grove High School's Peyton Henry got picked as well. UVU had a guy, Danny Bettis, that got picked up as well. You know, I just wish all these guys the best of luck as they move on this, chasing this dream, and it's an opportunity, and that's sometimes that's really what you want. You get a chance, and now go out and prove what they can do. And I hope they climb the ladder, but right. I have no clue how long it's going to take.
Right. You mentioned UVU's Danny Bettis, Utah's Dalton Carroll, another pitcher. He went in the 21st round of the Braves. Bettis went 15th, Pittsburgh. Salt Lake, or Slicks, Joe Barlow, 11th round, the pitcher going to Texas. And then Michael Rucker, of course, had a huge season, a big part of BYU's incredible year, going in the 11th round of the Cubs. Sometimes it's easier to chart pitchers because, their bottom line, it's a little easier to follow how they're doing and maybe make an immediate splash. You've seen Rucker a lot. Does he have the makeup and the command and the assortment to make it to the next level, make it to the bigs?
It's so hard to gauge. I think he's really good. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I think he's got, I think he's got a shot. But it's hard to gauge when you're playing against collegiate-level right. talent. And I like the college game, but it is diluted because of the, the Major League farm system. Mm-hmm. a lot of the best players go straight to the farm system and not go to college. And so it's hard to tell exactly where his, his command, his stuff, where that puts him as far as that goes. And now he'll, as he starts the pro, the pro process, then you get a better idea of sure. that. But I think he's really talented. It's just whether can he do it consistently on a pro level against really good hitters, against, guys that are, they're guys that were drafted as well or picked up at some point and believe they can play at the next level as well. So he's got to go out and prove himself. But I really like his talent, and I think that his ability gives him the opportunity, gives him that shot. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does, move up the ranks. Because I think he is good enough for that, but now he's got to go out and do it.
Right, exactly. A couple more minutes with Jared Lloyd, Daily Herald, obviously Cougar Insider, at Jared R. Lloyd on Twitter. Jordan Chapman transferring out of Dave Rose basketball program, not that surprising when you consider the minutes last year it looked like he would have had better opportunity, but I guess the surprise, the narrative there is, my understanding, maybe you can explain this, that BYU Law School wouldn't let him also play. He has eligibility left, but he's graduated. That shows a committed kid who's smart and who understands the academic side as well. But why would law school not let him play intercollegiate sports?
Well, and I'm not aware of exactly what the law school's rules and as far as the.
But is that that's the rub, right? That's the deal that
that's one of the main narratives that have come out with this is that he was looking to go to law school and the basketball element and he's a smart kid. Mm-hmm. He is, and I think he's got a very promising future. I think he's a talented basketball player. I liked his defense. He could spot up and knock down a shot. I think he's a good basketball player, but it's always tough to make these types of decisions, he obviously felt like this was the best move for himself moving forward with his scholastic endeavors as well as his basketball career. And I wish him the best. And this is an individual thing that he made with probably his family and talked to Coach Rose about, I would guess. And
yep.
this is probably what you got to make a decision. And I wish him. I hope that it works out for him. You just never know. But I think he's got a bright future, whether it's in sports but I suspect it's probably going to be in law or something like that, because he is a very intelligent young man.
Yeah, no doubt. But last thought for you, as we're into kind of a quietish time, BYU Media Day coming up at the end of the month, which is interesting. Tell me the next big thing you're looking at here on your radar. Tell me about some stories coming up or things you're working on at the Daily Herald or anything you're looking for in the Cougar horizon coming up soon.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun yesterday at the kidney tournament. The Liberty Mutual Invitational, but it benefits the National Kidney Foundation mm-hmm. of Utah and Idaho, and they do a great job, and they put them putting this on for 28 years, where they get the head coaches of both teams. And so to have Kalani Sitake there, he's there with his staff, with Ty Detmer, with grad assistant J.D. Falslev, and with Elisa Tuiaki, he was there. And Kyle Whittingham was there with his staff, Fred Whittingham and Morgan Scally and Aaron Roderick. And all those guys are such good friends. I mean, and it was really, eye-opening kind of to see those guys interact with the way that they interact. And, you know, it reminded me a lot more of watching LaVell Edwards and Ron McBride.
Exactly.
You know, they want to beat each other. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, Kyle Whittingham came in after his round, and he went and sat at Kalani Sitake's table, at his own table.
When would that have happened in the Bronco Mendenhall era? Never?
It wouldn't. Yeah, Kyle and Bronco did not have a relationship,
right.
You know, a friendship. Many, you know, I think they respected each other,
sure,
as competitors, but they didn't have the friendship that, you know, that a LaVell and Ron McBride had, or now that Kalani and Kyle Whittingham had. And, you know, it was really fun to see that element. And, you know, I have no doubt, you know, Kalani told me he's not a golfer, hasn't played a lot of golf. And, you know, but the fact that they lost to the Utah team, he's like, I can guarantee you I'm going to be better next year. He's a competitor. He doesn't want to lose. You know, he was okay. He joked around about the fact that three of the Utah contingent, the Utah coaches contingents, are BYU alumni, you know, that
yeah,
played at BYU. So he's like, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose to those guys. And everybody laughed at that, you know. But, you know, but at the same point, he wants to win.
Right.
And so, you know, he's going to be friendly and he's going to be open and welcoming and have a great time laughing before and afterwards. But I think that the message that got through to me was that, you know, he's going to do everything in his power to win, whether it's a golf or a football or anything else, because that's the type of individual he is. And, you know, he'll respect these guys, but he wants to beat them when he's got the chance. And so, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know, and it kind of just kind of a chance to see those guys outside of the high pressure football, you know, million media members there interviewing them, you know, a chance to chat with them, see them out on the golf course, having some fun, you know, and you know, just kind of a different perspective, kind of a summer perspective. But I like the attitude, because that's to me what a rivalry should be.
Sure.
You know, it should be a lot of fun. When you're out there on the field, you want to beat them. You want to beat them senseless if you possibly can.
Right.
But afterwards, you know, you know, we're not a drinking culture, but you go out for a drink, or, you know,
yep,
you know, the whole concept of hanging out and enjoying being together, and you know, the fact the friendship can withstand, you know, the rivalry passion and you know, the competition that way. So that was a lot of fun. And in fact, that's always a highlight. You know, it's been a highlight for a lot of years, and I enjoyed seeing that year, this year. And you know, media day is coming around the corner. I actually did a list that's up on CougarBlue.com, Tom, of my top 10 stadium experiences, just for the fun of it. You know,
sure,
I got thinking about which stadiums. BYU's got games at University of Phoenix Stadium and at FedEx Field back in Landover, Maryland, and so some good venues this year. But I was like, where's the best places that I've seen football games? And
that's
so
interesting.
I kind of put together my list and had some fun with it. Where's the best you've been, Tom? What would you say?
Well, the double A in Laramie, it's hard to top that.
That is quite a place to see a football game.
That football stadium is a lot of fun to go there, and it's 10 below zero. Got to leave it there, but I do want to hit this. Next time you come on, I want to talk about how those two coaches may be fostering more civility in the rivalry. I think you're on to something, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next year, next September when they meet. But let's pick it up with that. Great stuff. Jared Lloyd, Provo Daily Herald, BYU Insider. Thank you so much. Always enjoy the discussion. We always opens up new ideas for me, and look forward to having you on again soon.
Hey, thanks, my friend.